of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, October the 29th, 2024. As always, thank you for listening to AFR. A lot to talk about today, a week away from Election Day. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. And Ray Pritchard. Ray's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
What's the fall weather like in KC?
It's going to be in the 80s here. 80s blue sky again, Tim. I can get you 1:30 tea time.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's good. It's good late October golf weather.
My friend used to say it's too pretty a day to play bad golf.
That's right.
Yeah, and then some friends would also say there's no bad day on a golf course.
Right, right.
Too. So there's you got to reconcile those somehow.
Yeah. At least you're gonna hit one or two good shots anyway.
That's right.
Make you feel good. And bike riding, you going on your bike
yes,
ride today?
Yes, sir. Okay. I did yesterday, and I'm going out this afternoon because you know the cold weather. Here
it's coming.
It's coming probably within the next week or so. So I'm gonna grab some bike riding while I can.
I think Steve reminded us, Steve Paisley Jordahl, of the term Indian summer.
Yeah.
And it means an extended summer into the fall, and that's what a lot of the country's experiencing right now.
I just want to add that if you're in Mississippi, for all the years growing up, we had plenty to complain about with the weather, but God has got involved and said, no more complaining, because we're about to go on about 4 weeks where it's between 40 and 50 in the morning, give or take, and about 70 to 80 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, what more?
Right. You've been reading the Farmer's Almanac?
I got those numbers because I follow the weather closely because I'm a hunter and I enjoy hunting.
You're going to see how the deer's going to be moving.
Right. Or whatever I'm hunting in. Yeah. And so anyways, what we have experienced is the last 2 weeks have been about what I just said, and I'm looking 10 days ahead and it's the exact same.
What's ideal deer hunting weather though?
You really want a really significant drop in the weather. So any day where it goes from like it drops 30 degrees or 20, 30 degrees, it's a good thing.
Why, they start moving?
Yep, they start moving. They have some sense about them, but. You don't need to ask me any more of those questions because we're going to take away from the show pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I think people are interested in that.
I just wanted to give the people in Mississippi say, hey, look, we can't complain anymore.
Right.
We're going on 4 weeks. We've had three.
Well, most of the country
that's true
has
too.
Been experiencing a warmer.
Well, you know, for us here in Mississippi, we usually miss our spring and winter. I'm sorry. We usually miss our spring and fall. We get 1 week, and then it goes back to really hot or really cold.
Fall is our greatest 13 days of non-consecutive weather.
What he said. So.
All right. So a lot to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Steve Dace will be with us in about 7 or 8 minutes. We're going to look at what the United States Senate may look like after the election. A lot of attention being given to the presidential election, but what about the U.S. Senate? That's very critical to confirming judges. If President Trump is reelected, I say reelected, you know, from 4 years ago, and he has a favorable Senate, as in Republicans have 52, 53, then he will be able to get any federal judge he wants through, including Supreme Court justices. And the rumor is that, I don't know how much of a rumor it is. I think he's spoken about this. Justice Clarence Thomas and perhaps Samuel Alito, the two best conservative justices, are ready to retire. They're in their mid-70s, and they're ready to hang up the robe and go deer hunting or something, or bike riding or golfing or fishing. Anyway, they But they will need to be replaced, if you're from our perspective, by solid conservatives, and that can only happen should Trump win, and he has a majority of the Senate in his party, that is Republican. So that all that remains to be seen. So we'll talk to Steve Dace about that coming up. Frank Turek's on the way later on in the program, as well as Jenna Ellis. So, Ray, before we jump into the news of the day, give us a good word from the Holy Bible.
Okay. What are you worried about today? I mean, the national blood pressure, Tim, has been going up, 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 mm-hmm. and we still got a week to go, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking today about what God said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares, all your worries, all your troubles on him. Not, and that's 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, because what? He cares for you. And I think our problem as Christians, when we read a verse like that, we unconsciously read it, casting some of your cares on him, casting most of your cares on him. I can't speak for anybody else, but I speak for myself. I find it easy to confess to the Lord some of the stuff I'm worried about. But there's something in me that wants to hang on to this concern, this it's health, it's money, it's a relationship, it's something going on in the world around us. And you know what worry is? Worry, the English word worry comes from the Old English wirgon, which means to strangle, like somebody's got their hands around your throat. And that's why we talk about being strangled with worry. So my friends, if today you feel overwhelmed, if you feel fearful, if troubles are bubbling up inside your mind, let me encourage you to do what the Bible says. Take your worries one by one. Or as the song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Maybe the problem is, guys, we want to take our burdens to the Lord and then we take them back. We cast them to the Lord, and then we grab them back. Well, let me give you a different version, different translation of 1 Peter 5:7. This is by Eugene Peterson in The Message, and this is a paraphrase, but it gets the feeling good. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. You can trust the Lord. So take your worries, take your burdens to the Lord, and leave them there. You'll be happy today. You'll be happy tonight. And you'll still be happy tomorrow that you took your burdens, cast them upon the Lord, because my friends, he truly cares for you.
Amen. So where is the scripture reading from today?
1 Peter 5:7.
Okay.
1 Peter 5:7.
Read that after the show. All right, Chris, before we have Steve on, you want to lead us off with what's happening in the world?
Yes, we are 1 week away, America,
1 week
from
away.
The presidential election. 1 week away until things are brought in late, and we'll debate for several more days after. But I
digress.
Let's
hope not.
I hope I do too. All I want for Christmas is for the election to end at a decent hour on Tuesday night.
Well said.
Already and not go until Christmas.
Right. Yes, we did that back in 2000.
Yeah.
Ish. But anyway, all eyes are on both campaigns today. Former President Trump is speaking to reporters this morning at Mar-a-Lago. J.D. Vance is out on the campaign trail in Saginaw, Michigan. He's also going to be hitting some other places along the United States of America. Governor Walz is campaigning in Savannah, Georgia. And then all eyes are on Vice President Kamala Harris, because this evening at 6 p.m. Central, mm-hmm. she is going to deliver an address on the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. What is the Ellipse? That would
I
be
was
a big
about
grassy
to ask that.
Area near the White House, big park area near the White House. You can see the White House and some other stuff there from the sites. She's going to deliver her address tonight, where she is expected to make another attempt at convincing Americans that Donald Trump is a threat to freedom, and he's going to be doing all kinds of things, including going after enemies.
That's not working.
I know it's her strategy, but it would do well at some point. It may be too late, but to share what she's going to do better than what or do differently, as opposed to criticize Trump. Just because both sides are tired of hearing about Trump, honestly, in a lot of ways, you know, we're at this point. There's about to be somebody going to be the president of the United States,
right.
And that person is going to have to deal with foreign affairs, going to deal with the economy, with the border. There's a lot. So having here's what we're going to do. This is what my team's going to do when we get in office. Anything short of what we're going to do,
yeah,
it's really annoying. You get turned. You're gonna get turned off pretty quick.
If it's her same old stump speech, where she's, you know, Trump's a fascist.
That kind of
It's kind of like, what else you got? Because I'm not standing out.
And one side, the Republican side, they're like, yeah, well, we knew that and we got him. So and right, the other side go. Yeah.
We knew he's a fascist. And he's our fascist. He's our fascist. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's where a lot of people feel, I think. And so.
But the point is, nobody's.
It's not.
At this point.
She needs to lay out a vision beyond. I'm going to have administration of joy. Mm-hmm. Huh? And Oprah's going to be my secretary of happiness. Okay. She needs more than that. But she is.
But that's now, this afternoon, right?
It's this evening at 6 p.m. Central.
Okay. 6 p.m. Central. She gives a speech in Washington, D.C., somewhere. Is the backdrop going to be the White House where she looks presidential?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We can't let Donald Trump back in our house.
I got you. All right. You're listening to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where our good friend Steve Dace from the Hawkeye State, that's where he hails. Well, that ain't where he hails from Michigan, but he lives in Iowa. Steve is on with us from time to time. He's on with Jenna in the morning, Jenna Ellis, and has his own radio program. A lot of thought went into this title for his show called They decided on the Steve Dace Show. So, Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Unfortunately, we checked Sexy Beast was copyrighted, and so we had to go with our second choice.
Right, the Steve Dace Show. Yes, boy.
Yeah.
Did you pay that marketing team well for
that?
I did. Okay, good.
I did, and I considered having them workshop a few more options after the original was taken, but we just ran out of time.
Okay. All right, so, Steve, I wanted to ask you about the we can talk about the presidential race, but what about the United States Senate? How important is it? And that's a dumb question because it's so obviously important, but
rhetorical.
Yeah. And then what is it shaping up to look like in your view at this moment?
Well, Prim, we've had an interesting cycle aside from, you know, open assassination season. So that was cool. We've had an interesting cycle that, you know, this is Trump's third turn now as the GOP standard bearer. And this is the first time that he has been throughout a cycle been polling ahead of the wider Republican Party. And if you go back to 2016, Republican candidates all over the country outperformed Trump even in states that he won by several points in many cases, like Marco Rubio running for reelection in Senate in Florida outperformed Trump by several points. And then we saw in 2020, when Trump supposedly lost, Republicans still gained seats in the House at the same time. And so what's happened here is we have a new dynamic where Trump has been pulling ahead. It's very clear for the first time he has expanded his base, and the additions of RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard are kind of symbolic of that. It's very clear he has expanded his base. And up until recently, it looked as if Republicans may lose every single battleground governor and Senate seat. What's begun to happen in the last couple of weeks now is the data has narrowed. Trump is still polling ahead of the larger Republican Party, but we're now seeing the Senate races in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio within the margin of error, or the Republicans slightly ahead. Carrie Lake was polling in Mark Robinson territory most of the year. And now, you know, I still wouldn't predict that she'll win Arizona, but I wouldn't be shocked. I would have given her, you know, 1% chance a month ago. I'd say she's got 20% odds now, you know, so that she's on the right trajectory. So I think that, and this is reflected in the presidential race. They're symbiotic.
What about
that
Georgia?
It looked as if we might have a bifurcated election for a while, where a lot of voters were willing to move on from an openly senile president and his double-digit IQ VP, and still not largely trust the Republican Party, which frankly has done very little to largely earn the trust of the American people writ large across the country, and kind of have a bifurcated election. What's happened now with the presidential race is it's become increasingly clear that there is no Democratic message other than murder children and Trump is literally Hitler again. Okay. Now what you're seeing is they don't have a message. And guys, every election ever has been decided by the same issue, the future. Whichever side better message the future has won every single time. Okay. And ultimately people want elections to be about them and their issues. Continuing to run on the Trump is a Hitler stuff, they've already maxed out the voters that are going to respond to that. Everybody else wants the election to be about them and their issues. And that is now beginning to impact them down ballot for sure. And meanwhile, the Trump team, this is the best messaging that Donald Trump has done as a standard bearer and as a campaign since he ascended to political power. And they have, and J.D. Vance, I think, has done a masterful job setting the tone for that from the very beginning. He's been an excellent running mate. But for the most part, Trump has stayed above the fray. For the most part, they're messaging the future. And I think that has really boxed Democrats in here now as we get down the stretch of this election.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I want to talk. So in the Senate, you've got a 50-50 tie right now. All right. Now, the Republicans are going to win West Virginia. That's going to flip because Joe Manchin's retiring. And then in Montana, Sheehy. Yep. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Yep.
Yeah. He's been ahead of Tester, the Democrat incumbent, and has maintained a 5-7 point lead forever. And so it looks like those are going to flip. Would that, do you know, would that put him at 52-48? Go ahead.
No, that would guarantee, depending on what happens elsewhere, that would guarantee a minimum of 51. Now, there's been a unique situation in my neighbor state of Nebraska. We have a rhino's rhino and Deb Fisher, just a space taker. It does nothing but, you know, just vote for trinkets for corporations. And she's in this very red state where the Trumpian base doesn't like her. And so the Democrats tried doing to her what they tried against Mike Lee in the last cycle, where they ran a Democrat as an independent. And his last name is Osborne, Tim. And so, you know, running as with a last name of Osborne in Nebraska gives you some advantages.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
And for the longest time, it looked like, and his ads have been very good, he's been attacking her. All of his attacks on her are correct. I mean, she is, as from a political standpoint, she's as useless as mammary glands on a bull, brother. Okay? And so
I think that's okay. I just think that's okay to say on Christian radio, but I'm going to have to process it. But go ahead.
I'm just citing anatomy. That's all I'm doing. Yes. And she now what's happened is, again, when you've seen this Trump surge, as you're seeing Republican base voters come home, that's also what's helping Carrie Lake. She was only getting like 75% of the Republican vote. Now she's well into the 80s. Right. Okay. And so where you're seeing that now, the Republican base is solidified. It looks like Deb Fisher will hold on there and probably win by some margin. So that would guarantee Republicans will have no lower than 51. I think Republicans will end up with no lower than 52. I know this will sound counterintuitive to your base, but most of the candidates that Republicans are running are bad. And so you actually don't want them to have too many bad candidates get elected. Like, you don't want Larry Hogan to win in Maryland. If you need a majority, you're rooting for Larry Hogan, okay? But if you don't need Larry Hogan's seat, if you know this from your years of doing this, Tim, if there's too many bad Republicans in any chamber, in your state, on your city council, or in Washington, it makes it really hard to hold them accountable. They can switch the liability. It's like nailing Jell-O. They can move. They're a moving target. You want, you know, if they're not going to be, you know, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul level candidates, you really don't want 56 Republicans up there, because they can just invent more ways to betray you, you know? So I think they'll win at least one of Wisconsin and Arizona. And I think that Sherrod Brown in Ohio, I think Bernie Moreno's run a good campaign. That's one of the states that Trump has made redder in his era. And so I think between his coattails and Bernie Moreno, I think Sherrod Brown in Ohio will also lose.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because I said Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, the two best Supreme Court justices, have basically tipped their hand. They're going to retire in the next year or two. And if Trump wins, then he will be able to replace them. And if he has the Senate, and well, he'd be able to replace them anyway, but he'll be able to replace them with anybody he wants. And hopefully
that's a key point right there, because here's the thing. If there's only 53 or 54 Republicans, the pressure on the Lisa Murkowskis of the world is huge. Okay.
Well,
if there's 56 or 57 of them, it gets easier for them to say, it wasn't me. I wasn't the one, you know?
And yeah. But let me say, excuse me for interrupting you, Steve, but I will say this. I don't think the pressure will be there like it was before Dobbs. I think the fact that Roe versus Wade has already been overturned. So there's not going to be this, you know, this focus on that one issue for the, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I just think it could be less stress there. All right. Well, tell us how people can access your show.
Easiest thing to do is, you know, X is the largest free speech platform on planet Earth right now. So you can just look me up there on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Steve Dace Show. We put all of our content there, from the Blaze and everything else that we do is right there, at Steve Dace Show on X, formerly known as Twitter.
And what's the name of your show, Steve?
It is uniquely and ambiguously titled The Steve Dace Show.
Wow. Yes. Wow, that rocks. I'm just going to tell you. All right.
It's very punk rock. It's very punk rock.
All right, we'll get together and talk college football when the playoffs are announced, okay?
You got it, brother.
Playoff rankings. All right, thank you, Steve. Steve Dace from the Steve Dace Show. Mm-hmm. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. Ray, your thoughts on anything Steve shared there?
You know, the one question I wanted to ask him, he mentioned a number of places where the Republicans could pick up. Tim, any concerns about our friend, and he is our friend, Ted Cruz down in Texas? That race is maybe a little closer 1 week out than we thought it would be. Any concerns there?
I'll answer for Steve from the Steve Dace Show. yes, that's going to be, I guess, a 3-5 point race in Texas. I think Senator Cruz will win, but it's probably closer than you would expect in a red state, a Democrat challenger. The gentleman challenging him, Colin Allred, isn't that his name?
Yes.
Is he a congressman or what is his?
He's a congressman.
A congressman. Okay. He's very impressive when you watch him on TV and listen to him. He doesn't sound like a wild-eyed, crazy liberal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he doesn't scare people in that way in Texas, a red state. But I think Cruz should win in the end, but it is closer than you would maybe expect it to be. He's a better candidate than that other fella they ran for like the last 20 years.
He runs for like everything.
The last 20 years. What's
Beto
the guy's name?
O'Rourke.
Or Beto. Yeah.
I think he's
much
probably
better. It's quite a step up.
If there's a vacancy, Beto was interested.
He's going to run.
He forfeited his political career when he said, heck yeah, and I'm using
Beto?
Yeah, Beto O'Rourke. And his debate, his Democratic debate, when they were, you know, however many candidates there were in 2016 running, and he said, heck yeah, we're going to take your guns. Mm-hmm. We're going to take your AR-15s. We're going to take them all. He lost. My point is, since he's done that, he has not
heard from him. Yeah, heard from
him.
It's that's not the thing to say where Texas is home to the Alamo and they have come and take it in big letters.
Yeah.
But he's the only Democrat that has said it like that I can remember. Yeah. Yes, we are going to take your guns.
I have a little different take than Steve does on if you're a Republican or a Democrat, and it doesn't matter whether you get, quote, bad Republicans. But I would say, that's a relative question. In the state of Maryland, for example, you're never going to get a conservative Republican in a statewide election. You'll get a liberal one. You'll get a liberal Republican or a moderate Republican. But I would say if you were able to get Hogan to win in Maryland, I don't know if he's going to or not, a Republican, I think he would vote for good judges that Trump would appoint. I think that's just a guess that I have. Whereas you could take, if a Democrat wins, there's no way they're going to vote for a good judge, you know, for the federal court or the Supreme Court as a senator. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray, we hope you enjoyed sort of that deep dive into what the United States Senate may look like after election night, because it's very, very important. You have to have, if a president, and I know I harp on this over and over again, people, but the federal judges, the Supreme Court justices, they live long, long, long after any president who appoints them.
Right.
And so they make a big difference on the future of our country. And we're, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, the two best conservative justices on the court, they're set to retire in the next year or two. And the only way to replace them with other like-minded good justices to save the Supreme Court would be for Trump to win and the Republicans to get 52, 53 Senate seats. And then he could appoint anybody he wanted to, and the Democrats could not do anything to stop him.
Yeah.
That's if you're a conservative, that would be the best case scenario turning coming out of next Tuesday's national election.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the next story, Chris?
Well, as we speak, former president. As we speak, former President Donald Trump is in Mar-a-Lago going after his opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris, on a number of things, including immigration. That's a big issue, if not the issue, driving people to the polls this election. The other issue is the economy. And I've got some audio here. It's interesting. The economy has been improving day by day, week by week. Things are better. Things are coming in a little bit better than expected. And Fox Business personality Stuart Varney here says the economy is improving, but voters slash consumers don't see it. Clip four.
But the pundits are really puzzled by what's going on.
Right.
The economy is actually doing very well. On all kinds of scores, it's doing well. But most voters think it's a bad economy. And the pundits can't understand why. I mean, we do have solid growth. We've got a low unemployment rate, and we've got the best companies in the world dominating the most important industries. But voters still think that the economy is bad because the answer is obvious, because everything, absolutely everything,
right,
costs more. Rent, insurance, your mortgage, bread, anything you touch, anytime you put your hand in your pocket and pay out some money, it costs more. I mean, seniors on a fixed income, they don't care that we've got a growing economy. They care about the cost of living.
Sure.
People on low incomes, they don't care about the magnificent seven technology stocks. They don't care about that.
Right.
They care about making ends meet.
That's not a good soundbite when you're promising to, quote, fix it on day one. I mean, it's going to cost people money just to go vote.
Yeah, I think the cost of living, the other economic factors, as Stuart Varney said, there are pretty good for the country, Ray, but the cost of living, since Biden took over in the White House, says that's what people are thinking about, right?
You know, we're really talking about lunch pail kind of issues here. How much is it costing me when I take my family to McDonald's,
right,
or if I go to Chick-fil-A, or when I go to Costco, used to fill up a basket there, or, you know, a push cart there with for $150, and now it's $350, right? Mm-hmm. Gas used to be low, now it's high. People are not concerned so much about the highfalutin numbers, well, this and this and this. They're looking at their paycheck and how much they're spending versus what it cost them, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and the cost of almost everything has gone up. And that's going to that's going to make a difference next Tuesday.
You mentioned McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. I've seen tweets from people or posts this week talking about how it's just as expensive, if not more expensive now, to take your family to a fast food restaurant compared to like an actual sit-down
restaurant. Yeah, but you're still going.
That's true. That's very true.
But yes, you're going.
Well, you know, last night, this kind of hit me. Now, my wife and I, Allison, you know, we're empty nesters and have been. I mean, our kids are grown and gone. Wesley's here. I say gone. They're not gone from where we live. So we don't have the expenses of raising a family. So we're just by ourselves. So we don't feel things like younger couples do with kids like you guys have. But still, went into a convenience store last night, got a large Diet Coke. And some Dots pretzels. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have y'all had Dots pretzels?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're great.
Amazing. They're going to be the pretzels they serve in heaven.
That's right.
Dots pretzels, and nobody's paying me to say this, and her story is remarkable. Yeah. I've read her, so you can read about her story. The woman who had the recipe that created these Dots pretzels.
They are good.
Oh,
man, multiple flavors. So don't just think of pretzels as in just salt.
They're
pretzels.
Multiple.
Oh yeah, a lot of them. I got cinnamon. And sugar.
I like the original.
Oh yeah,
got there's original. Like a hot mustard one. Yeah, that's pretty tasty.
Nah, you shouldn't do that to pretzels. I don't think. But anyway, it's just me.
They're good. They're really good.
What, mustard?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never had a bad Dots pretzels. Period.
Okay,
I can't believe we're talking about pretzels, Tim. But if you folks, if you've not had Dots. And we're not getting paid to say this, right? If you've not had Dots, you should go buy. You should go buy some because you'll never buy any other.
Yeah,
right. You'll be done.
So, they're all good.
It's anyway. So I bought the Dots pretzel bag,
Diet Coke,
and large Diet Coke. Yep. Walk up there.
I know where this is going. Huh?
Here we go.
Walk up to the counter, and she says $8.45.
I was going
to
guess $9.
Yeah,
$8.45, and I said I didn't say it to her. I was stunned, and I had to. I was walking out going, I just paid $8.45 for a little bag of pretzels and a large Diet Coke.
I can one-up you.
Okay.
I can
go ahead and one-up me.
I took the baseball team that I coach, took them to watch a fall baseball game at Mississippi State, went inside the convenience store, and we're on a trip with the team. It's all fun. Like, we're getting, like – I want them to remember this day, right?
So are you paying for this visit to the convenience store for everybody?
For three boys.
Okay.
Three boys and myself.
Okay.
They all get one piece of candy, which would be like a Starburst, a pack of M&M's.
Right, yeah.
One piece of candy, one drink, and we put it up there, and it was $49 and some odd change.
I think that's immoral.
It is. I'm telling you. Well, hey, let's get back on topic here for just a second. Or not that we're on topic, but let's get back to the point here about Chick-fil-A. I've got the numbers in front of me. Chick-fil-A's increased their cost by 21% since Biden's taken office.
Yeah. Well, you know, fair or unfair, people blame the president, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. They blame or they credit the president for the state of the economy. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just the way it is. And it's always been that way, and it always will be that way. That's fair or not, that's just the way it is. I guess that's that you can define it as fair because that's just the way the American people view things. And they view as an issue the economy and the cost of living in particular, i.e. inflation, they blame on Biden to a large extent. And Harris is part of that.
Yeah, and my counter to that would be there is a standard increase, annual increase that happens no matter who's president, but you can visually look at if it's two or three times more under one versus the other.
Well, sometimes the impact psychologically of something doesn't go away even if the facts change on the ground.
Sure.
I'll give you an example. Remember when Biden took office and he went on the attack against the fossil fuel industry? And the price of gas shot up by like $1.50 a gallon. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Now, it went down. It's more reasonable now, but But Steve, that the effect was, remember the stickers on the gas pumps? I did that.
Yes. With Biden with his finger pointing at the gas.
I did that. Okay. That's stuck in people's minds. It doesn't matter that the price of gas is back down. The fact is, people in people's minds, that went up for a year, crazy, $4 or $5 a gallon gasoline. They blame that on Biden.
But even yes, but I'm going to go further though. Because
you're going to one up me again.
Yeah, yeah, and here's why. Because yeah, it may have gone down, but you had, but it didn't go down back to where it was when Trump was in office.
Yeah,
see, that's the. So I understand that to a certain degree, but. I blame. Okay, I'll just be no secret here. I blame Biden's administration and his policies 100% on the economy, and it's not just because he's the president. Based on what he's done.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's me.
Okay.
Am I clear?
Yeah, you're clear. You're
and another thing.
But you've used up your one-up-me's.
Yeah,
For the show.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we got a guest.
Plus, Wesley, I'm your father.
Okay. No Christmas for you.
Okay. Yeah. Just like Luke.
Oh, yes, right. That's what I thought about when you said that.
I'm your father. All right, so joining us now is Frank Turek. Frank is a host of Cross Examined, heard each Saturday and Sunday here on the American Family Radio Network. I've been on the network for 10 or 15 years. I was the one who recruited Frank to have his show on Saturday mornings live on American Family Radio. Good morning, Frank.
So you're to blame for all this.
Well, yeah. And all I get the credit, too. I get the credit for Cross Examined on Saturdays and Sundays here on American Family Radio. Cross Examined with Frank Turek is heard 9 a.m. Central Time. So tune in this weekend, 9 a.m. Central Time, or Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on the American Family Radio Network. So, Frank, you sent me a video earlier, which I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I'm going to immediately after the show. And you said to me, send this out to everyone. You know, what was the video about?
There was a woman in 2019. Her name is Abigail Martinez, and she had a daughter in the California public school system. And the long story short, this young girl was experiencing depression, I think at 15 years old. She joined the LGBTQ club on campus. And what happened was, the state of California essentially took this young girl from her mother and transitioned her. They gave her hormone blockers, cross-sex hormones. Instead of treating her depression, they thought that what would be best would be to take this young girl from her mother, put her in a halfway house, transition her, because that would make her feel better, because she really thought she was a boy rather than a girl. And what this young girl wound up doing, separated from her mother, is she knelt before an oncoming train. And the video I sent you is her story. The mother of this woman, Abigail Martinez, tells her story in 3 minutes. And what I want everyone to know, because when everybody sees this, they're going to say that is horrific. How could a government do that? Well, the government of California at the time was so liberal, it did it. And if Kamala Harris and the Democrats win this next election, they will pass the so-called Equality Act, which is really not about equality, and essentially nationalize this. In a sense, what's going to happen if they win is they will nationalize the idea. And President Biden, by the way, has already said this on Trans Visibility Day, March 31st, a couple of years ago. A department within his administration, inside HHS, Health and Human Services, came out and said, essentially, if you don't agree with gender-affirming care, we may come and take that child from you. And the Equality Act would put that into law. Now, people can't believe when I say this, but I'm looking right now at a brief to the United States Supreme Court, because there's a case in Tennessee that is about to be argued about a Tennessee law preventing this kind of thing. And a friend of the court brief was put forth by Abigail Martinez, the mother of this young girl who killed herself because she was taken from her mother and put through transition. And I'm looking at the brief right now that her mother and her attorneys put together to say, do not allow this to happen nationally.
Talking to Frank Turek. Okay, that video that Frank's talking about, we posted it on our Today's Issues Facebook page, right, Brent? So what do they need to do? Tell folks what they need to do to look at the video that Frank's talking about.
They can go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and it's there, posted there, and it's Frank. They'll be able to see a preview of it. So yeah. They'll see that it's Frank there speaking.
Yeah.
And just click on it, and it'll start playing.
And you posted that on YouTube, right, Frank?
Yes, it's on our YouTube channel. And by the way, Tim, we're going to talk about this issue this Saturday on the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist podcast, okay, right here on the American Family Radio Network. So we're going to we'll probably play that video, and we'll talk about it with Laura Hanford, who follows this. She works at the Heritage Foundation. She follows these issues nationally.
Okay, so this is why I get frustrated. Maybe that's not the right word. I have a stronger word I could use, mm-hmm, but I don't want to get violent. This is why I don't understand these evangelicals for Harris, for example.
Makes no sense.
Are these never Trumpers, okay, who say they're conservative? I saw an ad last night on TV. I'm going like, there's this guy. He's a Southern male. And he's looked like he's an outdoorsman or whatever. And he goes, I voted for Trump twice, but I'm not going to vote for him again because I'm voting for Harris because she's blah, 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 blah. Mm. And I'm going like, you make no sense whatsoever. Okay. If you want to get on there and say, I'm not voting at all this time because I don't agree with any of them. Okay. Say that if you want to. But to say you're for somebody who you say you vote for Trump twice and you're a Republican and you're going to vote for the arch enemy of conservatives, and you know I'm talking about the philosophy of Harris is at complete odds with what this guy said he stood for when he's voted in the past. So here's the thing, this is why I say this is Frank, I'd like you to comment, and then Ray. Sometimes there's two considerations when I go to the polls and I vote, especially a presidential election. Number one, do I agree with who I'm going to vote for the most part, philosophically, on the role of the federal government and what that person's job will be and how they view the world? Number two is, how bad is the opponent? Is the opponent horrible? Are they going to do terrible things? Are they going to try to try to violate the Constitution? Are they going to push for puberty blockers for 14-year-olds nationally? So how much harm can I stop from happening to our country,
right,
if I vote for the opponent of the person who wants to do all these terrible things? Does that make sense, Ray? I mean, Ray, do you want to comment on that? And then Frank, go ahead.
Look, we're not just talking about Trump versus Harris.
Right.
We're talking about a clash of worldviews.
Yes.
We're talking about a Democratic platform that's going to take America in a radically left-wing,
oh my word,
dangerous, yes, direction.
Yes.
Is the Republican Party perfect? No.
Right.
Is the platform perfect? No. I mean, we've talked about how there's some things that are not in that platform,
right,
you wish were there.
Right.
But their worldview is much more consistent with what we as Christians believe. So you're not just voting for this guy versus this woman. You're voting for this direction for America versus that one.
And yeah, let me give you one other example, and then Frank comment how this is real world stuff here we're talking about, folks. You remember a few months ago we reported on this. Joe Biden, the president, and Harris, the VP, instructed the Department of Health and Human Services, which is a three-letter big federal agency that has a lot of power. Okay, this HHS, they distribute money across America to the states for educational purposes or for all kinds of different reasons, okay, they would say. All right? I think it's HHS here, but I'm almost positive. Okay, so the Harris and Biden told the HHS, all right, if a state does not allow boys to play girls' sports, then you need to take the money away from them, okay?
Yeah.
they transgendered. This is what they're saying. In other words, Biden and Harris told that they wanted to use the force of the federal government to impose their will on states by saying you states must allow boys to play girl sports and shower with them and everything else, as long as they call themselves a girl, or we're going to take all your these federal dollars away from you. And you know what? At least one governor, I know others did too, but Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida said, oh, yeah, well, we will not comply. Mm-hmm. We will not comply with that order by Biden and Harris. So I say that to say this. If Harris is elected president, you're going to get that and more. If Trump is elected president, you won't get that.
Right.
You won't. Now, you're not going to get a Sunday school lesson Trump, but you're not going to get the bad stuff. You see what I'm saying? Right. Frank, go ahead and comment on my little sermonette there.
Well, what else what you're talking about there, too, Tim, is the fact that some of that money was going to go pay for school lunches. So Biden and Harris wanted to withhold school lunches from school children for states that wouldn't allow boys to play in women's sports.
Yes.
I mean, this is how crazy this ideology is. Now, can we all agree that as Christians we can say, I don't like either candidate, their personal behavior. They both have issues. We agree on that,
right.
Okay?
Right.
But one thing you have to keep in mind, when you're voting for president, you're not voting for one person. You're voting for 5,000 people to go to Washington and implement an agenda, implement a platform. And as you were just mentioning, Tim and Ray, the platforms are dramatically different. You're going to get policies, certain policies with the Republicans that are going to be different than the Democrats, dramatically different. Which policy platform better lines up biblically and with natural law and with common sense? It's not the Democrats. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's just the way it is. I don't make this stuff up. Go read the platforms. You can see it for yourself. Policies are going to last a lot longer than personalities. And the number one role of government, according to Romans 13:4, is to protect innocent people from evil. That's the number one role. We need to protect innocent people from evil. We need to protect school children from a government that's going to want to take them and transition them against parental rights. That when a government starts doing that, a government's doing evil. It's not preventing evil. But we're the people who can elect the government that will protect school children rather than endanger them. So let me say one other thing about this. Do you know that in the last election, there were 30 million Christians who didn't vote, and yet the election was decided by 42,000 votes.
Yep.
30 million people didn't vote, and it could have been – it was decided by 42,000 votes in certain swing states. That's the total number of votes that the whole election was decided by. If Christians voted and voted biblically, we wouldn't have these political problems we have now. We wouldn't have unfettered abortion. We wouldn't have school children being taken from their parents to be transitioned. We wouldn't have open borders. We wouldn't be in all these foreign wars. I mean, please, wake up, church. Wake up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Ray, any final comments there?
Look, Frank has made the case, not just logically, but passionately. If you're a Christian, vote. If you're a believer in Jesus, vote. If you believe the Bible is the word of God, don't sit on the sidelines. And don't make the excuse, neither candidate's perfect. We already knew that,
right?
We know that. So if you are a Christian, go and vote. And when you go into the polling place, take your Christian convictions with you.
Have y'all seen this ad? Maybe we can find it. It's an ad I saw last night. I was watching the World Series or something, and this ad comes on, and it says the black fellas talking about Harris pushing transgendered operations and paying for them in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Or paying for – did you see this?
I think we've aired that audio.
It is hilarious because it's just – it's got these two black guys. I think they're going like, I ain't for that.
No, not my tax dollars.
I'm not for that. In other words – the Democrats may take me for granted because I'm a black male, and they think I'm supposed to support that. I don't support that. Did you see this?
I did see that.
Have you seen this, Ray?
No, I have not.
Did you see it, Frank? Okay.
I did. And yeah. there's another ad that Trump is running about, you know, Kamala Harris wants to transition prisoners with taxpayer money.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. No, that's
there's
it.
There's two of them.
That's it. And was it got the black guys on there commenting on it?
Yeah, there's two of them. One version that way and another version, a shorter one, with the same kind of thing. She wants to use tax dollars to transition murderers in prison and then send them into women's prisons where they're going to rape the women.
Did you say shorter? Did you say?
Yeah, there's a shorter one. Yeah,
like shorter black fellas?
No.
Shorter version.
It's like
a 30 second. Okay. I couldn't see their height on TV, and I didn't know what you were talking about right there. All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. God bless. See you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.